Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our man in the booth, Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
And for those of you in the audience, thank you for your patience waiting for the show. Very exciting time.
Very exciting.
Before we get to the bulk of the show, though, we have a couple of orders of business.
We
to
have
go through.
At least one order of business. So we
at
do
at least two.
At least two. Wow, that's very exciting. That's so much business. We do this podcast.
Wait, real quick. Who likes business?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
People come here to escape from business.
Just checking.
Because that's where we all live. So this is, this is a listener who listens to our podcast, Brett Macris. Alex once, he lives in New Orleans. He's our New Orleans correspondent for our Cloak and Dagger podcast, Cloak and Jabber. Look at that. Check that out. And he makes, he is a fan, obviously. He makes aprons. And Alex sort of aggressively challenged him to make aprons for us a while ago.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't aggressive, but I called him out and yelled at him about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's aggressive.
And so he, now, I don't know if you, like, aprons, like, you know, simple, like, kiss the cook kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
These are not that.
Oh, really?
So buckle up. There are three of them, one for each of us.
Oh, wow.
Wait, do we have to wear them all show now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's do this one's mine first. This is a Starman apron.
Oh my God! Look at that. That is really well made.
So this is legit. It's got lapels.
Wow.
You press a button on it, and it fucking lights up.
Whoa!
Very cool. Starman's one of my favorite characters, so that makes a lot of sense.
Wow. Yeah.
What's that? But well, let's see what happens.
Hold your horses.
All right, real fucking apron expert in the crowd. Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm a apron heckler. This is for Alex.
Oh, look at this! Look how nice
my God.
That is.
I'm gonna cry.
That is a Cypher apron.
Oh wow!
Cypher, the least popular X-Man, still gets to wear a cool X-Man uniform, and you're being very Cypher about it because you don't know how to put it on. It's good. Even he Cypher doesn't translate clothing very well.
This is amazing. Honestly, all I have ever dreamed about my entire life is having an X-Men uniform. So this is close enough.
Yeah. This is close enough. You can cook in it. That's
even
great.
Even better.
Yeah.
Oh, this is great.
I think yours lights up somehow, too. And at the bottom here is, that's it. Nothing. So that's too bad. No, I'm just kidding. This is, of course, a Punisher apron.
Oh, wow. Look at this.
And let me be honest. Seeing that symbol scares me because we were one step closer to Pete being an actual Punisher. maybe too close.
I got to say, that's amazing. The only thing that would be better is if it said, kill the cook.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Don't, that's, again, you're really criticizing this man who built these.
This is amazing. Yeah. It's like a flak jacket. It's got like all these little things for bullets.
Yeah,
this
bullets,
is great.
Knives, so when you go to a con, you can hide your knives and your drugs, whatever you want in here. This is great.
Thank you for including drugs in that.
Brett, this is amazing. You can follow him, I'm forgetting exactly his Instagram address, but on Twitter he's at Brett Macris.
Yep.
And as we mentioned, he's our New Orleans correspondent, so he'd jump in, give us a bunch of history of the city of New Orleans on our Cloak and Dagger podcast.
Yes.
Super cool.
It was
this
super helpful. The stuff
amazing.
That he
yeah.
told us was pretty cool. The other order of business.
Right. This is down from the aprons, I think. But
that's not how theatrically you want to.
This is even bigger, you guys. Let's freak out. Yesterday was Justin's birthday.
Oh, God.
So we know how much you love Halloween and pumpkins.
We got you a pumpkin full of candy.
Oh,
yeah. And if you want to share it with the audience, you're welcome to, or if you want to keep it to yourself.
It's sort of a gift then for not really me, but for everyone.
Well, we just want to say happy birthday, and we appreciate you.
Oh, that's
and
very nice.
If in your appreciation you want to share it with the audience, that's cool.
That's
but, like,
really great.
Really, it's about you. You know, happy birthday.
Nothing says me more than a recently purchased M&M jack-o'-lantern full of candy for other people. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, so, you know, spread the love. It's Stop really being nice. Selfish on your birthday.
Okay, good. This comes with a little lesson. Perfect. just like all good birthday presents, there's a scolding as part of it.
Yep, yep. That's how I grew up.
I have a feeling Pete's going to end up eating 50% of this candy.
So we'll see what happened. Happy birthday,
thank
Brett.
You guys.
Thank you. Guys, I'm very excited about the guests that we have on the show tonight. He is the creator of Harriet Tubman Demon Slayer. Ladies and gentlemen, David Crouch.
Hey! Welcome to the show. Welcome.
Come on out.
Come on
Welcome
out.
Welcome to the
out.
Show, sir.
Come on. Oh, God.
He's got
yeah, here he comes. Hey!
Have a seat. Please. Have a microphone.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
Sit down. I'm sorry.
Sit down.
We don't have an apron for you.
Yeah, I feel weird.
An apron. We're wearing these aprons
snap.
That we got.
You got Wolverine on you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Starman.
And you got Frank Castle. I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, for the uninitiated, Frank Castle is the Punisher, everybody,
in case you
don't know.
We walked through it a little bit, and Pete embodies the anger a lot, so that makes a lot
of
sense.
So it all works out.
I love it.
David, let's chat about your book, Harriet Tubman, Demon Slayer. It's a little tough to figure out from the title. What is it about?
Well, it's basically, it's basically about Harriet Tubman, the real life person. But you know, what if she knew martial arts and what if she had katanas and what if like random
she
werewolves?
Probably did.
Yeah, so we don't know that she didn't. Is she ever on record saying
I
don't know martial arts?
Exactly. Yet. Like when I first dropped it, I got yelled at by a bunch of people. They were saying like, "How dare you do this?" Harriet Tubman wasn't a demon slayer. And I usually don't, like, you know, comment on stuff. But, like, you know, we're like, strangers I don't know are going, like, yo, fuck David Crownson. I was like, oh, shit. I've never heard that except from my own friends.
Well, I mean, when you're dealing with history like that, it tends to be potentially very provocative. Was that something you were going for? Or you're just going for, like, this is a ridiculous confluence of two different things?
No, I basically, okay, it's a bit of a story.
All right, we're here for it.
Good. how much time you got?
Not as much as we'd like. Go ahead.
Shit. Okay, all right. My background is in acting and in performing. Yes. And I was auditioning for this independent film called Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
Oh,
and,
I've heard of that.
Yes. I didn't get it, so I got mad depressed, and I went to Africa. I did the Dave Chappelle broke version of that, basically.
Wait, so every time you don't get a part, you go on a massive trip?
No. Like, at this point, I had been, like, living in New York for, like, a couple of years, and I'm, like, stressing out trying to pay for this apartment and working at jobs I hate. And all that good, but I'm grateful for the experience. So I don't get Star Wars. My mom's like, you should like move to Africa, and I'm like, dope.
Your
I'm
mom
doing
said
it.
That.
My mom said that. She's like, you should just like move to Africa, just chill out and like relax, take a break from America, take a break from this. I'm like, cool, dope. I'm on. I'm doing this shit. So I go to Africa. I'm chilling in Africa. Everyone, go to Africa, please.
Yeah.
Do it for yourself. So I go to Africa. I'm chilling out.
Where'd you go in Africa?
I went to Ghana, West Africa.
Okay. Nice.
That's right. Woo, Ghana. Woo it now. Even you, Nigeria. Sorry. I'm sorry to make you do that,
wow,
honey.
Really?
I'm in Ghana. I'm chilling out. It's great. I love it. And I'm watching TV one day, and this Harriet Tubman documentary comes on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, snap, Harriet Tubman. So I'm watching it. I'm loving it. And then when that ends, I was channel surfing, and Crouch and Tiger, Hidden Dragon came on. So I'm like, oh, shit, Crouch, Tiger, Hidden Dragon. I love this shit. So I'm watching Crouch, Tiger, Hidden Dragon. It's like the last part of the movie where it's Michelle Yao and Zhang Zi having their like epic like fight scene.
Oh, yeah.
And so that ends, and then Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters comes on. I'm like, oh, shit, I'm about to be up in this movie. Let me watch this. And Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters came on, the foreign movie, network in Ghana, West Africa, which I thought was funny as hell.
Good for Jeremy Renner. That's all I have to
say. Exactly. So I watch it. Terrible movie. Awful movie. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's a bad movie.
That is a bad movie.
It's a really
bad
movie.
Did you call your mom and you're like, Mom, I'm here. I'm watching Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened. So so the following evening, I'm just journaling what I've been watching, and I'm just like, Harriet Tubman, then Crash Like a Hidden Dragon, and then Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, and it's like a 3-page like thing of what my day has been going like. And I looked at this one page, and I just saw Harriet Tubman and epic katana fight scene and Witch Hunter. And I just kind of like stared at it and like looked at it and then stared at it and then was like, Harriet Tubman, Demon Slayer. Oh, shit. So I like wrote it down a bunch of times and I underlined it. And I didn't know what it was at the time. I didn't know if it was like a film or a movie or a TV show.
A fever dream, a confusing series of events.
Or like a fever dream. Yeah. I don't know. And I just fell in love with this image of Harriet Tubman, who was 4'11". I'm like, what if she knew like martial arts and flew around and like kicked the shit out of a werewolf? I don't know. So as soon as I get back into the States, I like was at like this Barnes & Noble. It was cold as hell. And like they had this How to Write Comic Books by Brian Michael Bendis, who's my favorite comic book writer.
Nice.
And so I bought that, and I was like, it's a comic book! And here we are.
Wow. You just have to explain what channel surfing and Barnes & Nobles are.
Yeah, and then we'll be good to go.
Barnes & Noble is taking over.
I know it's my birthday, but I'm back.
Oh, happy birthday, fellow Libra. Happy birthday.
Yeah, right on.
Oh, nice.
Well, listen, I mean, that's... there's obviously more to it than that.
Oh, yes,
at
yes.
that point, when you decided it was a comic book, what was the next step? Well, how did you look through the Bendis book and use his script format? Did you start submitting it around? What happened next?
Basically, I made a logo just to like have like a visual just to keep myself inspired. And then I read his book on how to write in comic script because it's a totally different medium than just writing a screenplay, which I've ran a few screenplays in my life. But when you're doing it for an artist, it has to be very specific. And very specific, but also very detailed in a way. You have to like do enough for their imagination to work, but you still have to like explain. It's a little bit complicated, a little bit hard, but I had a lot of fun with it, and how I write my screenplays, they work very much in pictures. So, what's it called? So, I started working on this issue, and then I started to say, okay, I need to find like an artist who I can collaborate with. And I found this guy named Cortland Ellis on Instagram. And I messaged him, I said, hey man, like I looked through your Instagram, I love your art, I have this idea for a comic book. And he's like, what's it called? I said, it's called Harriet Tubman Demon Slayer. He's like, shit, we're gonna get in trouble.
Nice.
But I'll do it. So I'm like, cool.
So you cold Instagram messaged him.
I Instagram messaged him. I was sliding into his DMs.
I think that's cool to hear that works sometimes.
It does.
For all sorts of things.
It does. I've gotten so many jobs from Instagram. Shit. Yeah.
Well, we keep coming back to this. If you were aware that it might be provocative, and even up front the artist was like, we're going to get into trouble, how do you thread that needle when you're approaching something like this?
Well, at first I'm just like, I'm like, yo, Abraham Lincoln out here hunting vampires and killing zombies and shit. Why can't Harriet Tubman slay demons? And I don't give a damn. So at first, I didn't think it would be. I honestly didn't think there would be any like backlash. And then I think Cortland did the cover of issue one, and we dropped it on like I just shared it and wasn't thinking anything was going to happen. I'm like, yeah guys, I have this idea for a comic book. It's been in my head for a couple of months, Harriet Tubman Demon Slayer, and I shared it and I turned off my phone and was just running errands in New Jersey. And then I turn on my phone, and I had so many notifications. I'm like, oh, shit, someone hacked my damn Facebook and, like, put crazy shit in it. Damn it. Damn it, David Gazzo. Damn it. So, like, but then it was all my friends had been sharing it, and it went viral. And then it was on, like, Twitter, and it was on Instagram, and then I was getting a bunch of messages, and people were just like, tell us your story, Mr. Crownson. And I'm like, shit. I'm like, and then people were just arguing. There was a whole bunch of think pieces about it. And again, it was weird because at this point, like, I'm just a dude from Jersey, all right? I'm just a regular-ass guy. And, like, I work in an office. Occasionally, I act in some shit. I've never had people, like, talk about, like, strangers I don't know, again, just being like, this guy's terrible. He's bringing the black community backwards. I'm like, holy shit. What? And he's like, but then it's like, oh, he's doing a great thing for the black community. I'm like, oh shit, I'm terrified. I'm not Rosa Parks. What the fuck is this? So I'm like having like a little bit of a panic attack. And then like, at first I'm like, okay, I'm going to like quit. This is getting a little bit out of control. And then this random kid on some message board, there was like 1,000 people commenting and fighting about it. And this one kid was like, hey, yo, I'm just imagining his voice sounds like this. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
he's just like, hey, yo, I saw this and it like really inspired me to like look up the real Harriet Tubman. All y'all tripping. David Crownson, keep doing what you're doing.
Aww.
And I was like, thank you, Leroy from Baltimore, Maryland. So I'm like, okay, cool. So this inspired this random 16-year-old kid to like investigate what really happened. And again, people were just like, she didn't do any of this. I'm like, how do you know? Were you there?
Yeah. And I'm it is like, funny that people are like, are you trying to reboot Harriet Tubman as some sort of
demon slayer? It was literally like that.
It's not really. Like, there's no way it could be that.
Right. No. And I understood that. I thought they were trying to, people thought I was disrespecting her real life story. And I did research on who she really was. And I said, okay, in the research process of it, I just said, okay, what if it was this, but with like witches and werewolves, or what else can I say about her as a person that hasn't already been said? And I did a ton of research, read a lot of books about it, and just in finding out who she was as a person, and not really trying to remix who she is as an individual, just saying like, this is a biography with werewolves,
yeah,
and vampires. It's still her. It's still the same person. She knows martial arts.
Did that help? Did that calm the tub maniacs down a little bit?
I think no. Until the book actually came out, and so they took time to read it and get, oh, this is what he's trying to do. Mm-hmm. And well, but you can't please everyone.
So are people becoming sort of getting on board with it now?
Yeah, yeah. Like one of my friends who I met through doing, you know, this comic. He was really like, yo, man, I don't appreciate you doing this. I'm interviewing you for my like blog, but fuck you and your comic.
Wow. So
now tell me about this motherfucking shit. And I'm like, Jesus, Greg, calm down. His name is actually Greg. So Greg interviews me. He's really mad about it. And but then I gave him the comic to just read when it was done, and he was like, wow, this was really like fun to read, and. And I got like the suspense and the horror of it, not just the horror of like, oh, werewolves and demons around, but the horror of slavery. Mm-hmm. And he's like, good work, man. And I said, thanks, Greg. He's like,
well, I feel like that happens a lot, right? People freak out about something,
exactly.
But then when you actually read the content of the thing, it's never as bad as what you're imagining.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I think there is this quote from like Kevin Smith, and he's talking about when he's doing Clerks 2, mm-hmm. and he's going back to the well of doing Clerks 2, and everyone's like, fuck him, he's an idiot, how dare he do Clerks 2, it's a classic. And he said in this DVD commentary, he's like, everyone's reacting to like they should really just react to the movie and just like wait and like calm down. Everyone's like pissing their pants until the actual thing, you know, happens. Like, it's I'm not putting myself on this level, but it's basically like, you know, like, oh, Heath Ledger's going to be the Joker. Mm-hmm. And I'm guilty of being like, 10 things I hate about you is going to be the Joker. Hell no, that's bullshit.
Oh, wow.
Like, I'm guilty of that shit. I did it with Ben Affleck being Batman, y'all. It was me. That's right, I did it. Sorry, Ben Affleck.
You were right in that case.
Well, no. I think he was passable. I think he was passable.
All right.
Christian Bale made poetry out of that shit. Christian Bale...
Who said that? There's a murmuring in the crowd.
who the fuck said that?
Front row not getting on board with you.
Who the fuck said that?
That was literally like 5 people. That was a group mind just established.
I'm totally kidding. The Christian Bale and Kevin Conroy, that's my like Bible of Batman, all right?
Kevin Conroy, yep. Yeah.
Yes, Kevin Conroy. He's dope. He came into H&M one time. He bought a t-shirt for me. It was great.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yes, I used to work at
H&M. You
should have
told that story first. That's a good story.
Oh, shit. I was working at H&M in 2008, and he came in, and he was buying a black V-neck. Shit was hilarious. And I'm like...
On brand.
I'm like, I'm like, I know that voice. And then he kind of
wait, did he use the Batman voice when
he used the Batman voice when he was leaving?
I need a VDAC.
He shops in the Batman voice.
He comes in, but he was doing like his real voice is the 1990s Bruce Wayne voice, where it's kind of high pitched and like kind of nice. And then I'm like, I said I'm a big fan of your work. Like when I see someone that's famous whose work I admire, I never lose my shit unless it's like Will Smith or Donald Glover or some shit. But like when I saw him, I was like, hey man, I'm a big fan of your work. I love what you do. And he was just like, thank you. And I was like, ah! Freaking like lost my shit. And then I folded the fuck out of that V-neck. Shit.
So, Harriet Tubman, Demon Slayer is out now. Where can people pick it up?
You can get it digital copies from Comixology, and you can get physical copies from peepgamecomics.com, and they ship it on demand. Issue 3 will be coming out soon. I may be having some meetings with some publishers who are fans of me. That's right, woot woo. what's that called? People thought I was with Image Comics this whole entire time. Like, I was having a meeting with my agents and my managers. We were like, oh, we can't find a publisher. What are we going to do? But people, there was some weird rumor that Image Comics was, like, you know, doing my book. I don't know why, but I'm like, no, I own all the rights and shit. They're like, oh, let's have some meetings. So I'm like, yeah. So.
Cool. Nice. Why don't they go well?
Did it go well? Was that what you were asking?
I said, I hope they go well.
Oh, you hope they go well.
So it's
ongoing.
So far, so good. It's ongoing. It's like, cool. They literally found out, like, last week that I'm not, like, with any publisher. I've been doing this shit by my damn self. And, well, not by my damn self, by, like, my awesome Kickstarter backers, thank you, and all that shit.
That's nice.
And like, my friends being dope and awesome, and, like, you know, God, I have to thank God, because my mom's going to listen to this. So, like...
Amazing.
Oh, shit, she's going to hear me curse. Oh, no.
She's going to make you go on another trip to Africa.
Yeah, she might do that shit. Sorry, Mom, for cursing. Oh, damn. Wow.
All right, well, definitely pick that up. And we're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. Yes.
In the stack, we're going to talk about a couple of books that came out this week. We should mention that the stack this week is brought to you by a sponsor, Righteous. Yeah. A comic that sponsored the show a couple of times in the past. It's a book by Zane Daniel that is about a dude that starts being compelled to do good things.
To do the right thing in a situation.
To do the right thing,
he can't not do it once he starts.
It's like Liar Liar, but a little more religious.
Man, what a salesman. Liar Liar was a movie 200 years ago.
It was 18 years ago.
Wow, we got a fan over
18
here.
18 years ago.
All of my references are from 1993 through 2001.
That's what happened? Everything just...
Brain just fried and flipped off at that point. But Righteous, they are releasing a new Kickstarter, I think, as of today or yesterday for the second volume of the book. I believe you can check it out at righteous-comic.crowdfund.com or you can just search Righteous Comic online and it'll come up. Go support the Kickstarter and thank them very much for supporting and sponsoring the show. And now let's move on to the stack. First thing we're going to talk about is Avengers number 9 from Marvel Comics.
Oh, let me look at this.
Woo.
Yeah, give
you
it a look.
Want to talk about this one, Justin?
Sure. So the Avengers, they're cool. They're fun people.
Sure.
They're a great group of people. They're great friends.
Yeah.
They're good friends.
Very good friends.
Very good friends. They're also co-workers. You're talking about work earlier, business.
Yeah.
They work and play together, live together.
Oh,
they're roommates.
You meant of ours. They're friends of ours.
Yeah, I feel like we're friends with them. We know them.
We've certainly known them for a couple of years.
I know more about them than real people know.
Yeah, that's true.
Horrifying. So in this comic, there's a new villain in town who's Namor.
It's not new. I mean, it's been around for a while, but now he looks like a... emo 80s kind of weird 80s. S&M version of himself.
Well, when you live underwater, your hair just goes.
I know, he has some good ass hair. Look at
it's a salt water, you know, keeps it. It's like a rinse.
Are you a fan of Namor? You like the Submariner?
I do. I dig his whole entire arc. I dig Avengers. I hate that they're fighting. Well, as far as the movies go, they're fighting right now in the movies. It's really bad.
Yep.
But hopefully they fix that shit. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Nice. What a nice greeting to every individual
say hi
audience.
To Spencer, everybody. Thanks for coming, buddy. You're dope. You're awesome.
It's like we're at your house.
Oh, David Marquez, he drew this. He's an amazing artist. Everyone follow David Marquez. He's amazing. Nice. And dope. Follow his Instagram.
This book is great. I do think, to Pete's point, it's a little frustrating that they're fighting Namor again. There's even a joke about it in the book where they're like,
not this again.
Yeah, you're doing your Atlantis attacks thing again. So that's a little frustrating. What do you think about the costume?
I think it's fine.
And he's also dressing up as sharks. It's like, all right, dude. Like, if you want to go with that emo look, but don't do that to your sharks.
He's not dressing up as sharks.
Yeah, they got, like, mesh chain stuff on earrings. And it's like, come on, what are you doing to that shark?
He's not dressing up the sharks. The sharks are dressing up themselves.
You think they're doing that on their own?
Yeah they swim right into the clothes. That's what happens.
Okay.
It's armor.
They show up, and one shark's like, oh, my God, I'm wearing that. You're wearing that. That's awkward.
It's special armor, so then they fight.
It's kind of like when you see, like, somebody their dog has, like, the same outfit on as them, and you're like, oh, that poor dog. What are you doing to that dog? The dog's not making that choice. You're making that choice for the dog.
If I was going into a fight and my dog was, like, with me, I'd be like, throw a helmet on. Because that's what's going on with these sharks. Just to protect
the dog.
It's
not enough that your dog's there to have your back. You're going to make them, like, you know,
they're not having
dress up.
Well, they're not having a fashion show. They're going into a fight. So everyone's like, hey, put a helmet on. Hey, man, hey, tape a spear to your fin or whatever. Like, let's have a fight.
I agree with this.
See, right?
Listen, if my dog does not wear a V-neck sweater with a Ralph Lauren collar, I don't want it.
Wow.
Right. Well, let me ask you, what fight are you preparing for with that outfit? Ralph Lauren.
Basically, you know, when someone takes, you know, I'm like at Trader Joe's, mind my own damn business, and someone takes the last organic Reese's Pieces.
And you sick your well-dressed dog on them?
Hell yes. I'm like, Arthur, attack this motherfucker.
Wow. It's great. Oh, anyway, that's sort of the plot of this adventures book.
Yeah, why not? It's great, though. Definitely pick it up. X-23 number 5, also from Marvel Comics. Oh, Pete, you want to talk about this one?
Yeah. We have X-23 fighting the Cuckoos. Yeah. Who are these identical twin creepy kids that can talk to themselves in their minds and have
mind
control.
They were quintuplets, and then two of them died.
Yeah.
So that's
and they're trying
up.
To bring them back. They failed on one of them. One of them they did bring back in Gabby? Gabby, is that her name?
Yeah, I think so.
Body. So
no, in Gabby's body, yeah.
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 And so they're kind of battling to have control over their minds and bodies in this. And there's always, what I like about X-23 is they've kind of had this nice, like, touching family moment throughout all of them.
As X-23 is a clone of Wolverine, and she is now sort of the older sister figure for another clone.
Sorry,
of a clone.
Do you want to explain who Wolverine is real quick?
Oh, yeah, no problem. So Wolverine is, he's from Canada. He's a Canadian, first and foremost.
That's definitely
and
the
that's
first
pretty
place
much it. I think that's pretty much, he's just a regular
good to
Canadian.
Go. Yeah.
He's a regular Canadian.
Yep.
Yes, people forget that he is from Canada.
Yeah, he's a real.
X-23 fan? Have you been reading this book at all?
I'm not. I'm like this whole summer. I've been catching up on Daredevil and reading this new book called Invincible. Well, it's not a new book. It's been around for a while. Kirkman book.
It's been around so long. It ended.
Yes. I'm really late. Everyone, buy Invincible. It's so good. It's so
dope. It
is
great.
If you like superheroes and like violence, it's so good. Please buy that shit.
And you were saying it was so good, you were like binge reading it.
I was filming this movie this month, or like 2 months ago, and I read 130 issues.
Wow.
In like one month.
All right.
Yes.
Well, this only has five.
I'm a winner, everyone. I have a life.
Yeah, no, definitely.
This only has 5 issues, so you can definitely jump right into it, despite one of the characters being a clone of a Canadian. This is by Mariko Tamaki, who has been doing an incredible job at Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
The books she's been writing are superhero comics, but they're incredibly emotional at the same time. Yeah. She did the She-Hulk run that dealt very deeply with PTSD. She also wrote a Supergirl book over at DC that also dealt, again, very emotionally with the characters. Here, you wouldn't expect somebody who mostly has claws to get so deep.
People with claws have feelings too, Zalbin.
Mostly not. This... This is great, though. Like, it's beautifully drawn. It's really well done. Even if you don't regularly read comics, you can jump right into this, and I highly recommend
it. Yeah, I love this book. It really is very, very good.
Yeah, me too.
Cool. Last one we're going to talk about. This is a DC comic book, Flash, number 56. Boy, if you want to look at something that is a deep dive into comic book stuff, pick up The Flash. This is by Joshua Williamson, who's a good friend of the show.
Yeah.
He's been blowing up The Flash mythology. I don't know if you guys watch the show or know anything about The Flash, but...
He's fast.
Yeah, he's fast. He uses this thing called the Speed Force, right? Here, they're introducing all of these other forces, the Strength Force and the Sage Force and all of these other forces that are infecting all of the Flash's bad guys, as well as occasionally the Flash himself. I'm really enjoying this. I know you guys have been a little iffy about it, right?
Yeah, it's too many forces. You lost me at Sage Force.
Yeah, Sage. Alex, why don't you explain to us how the Sage Force works?
Sure. So
now keep in mind, Sage.
We have aprons on.
Right. Okay, so the Sage Force, first what you got to do is you got to put it in a little butter and cook it very quickly.
Yeah.
And then if you put it with some pumpkin tortellini or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Oh, pumpkin tortellini. So that's.
Oh, did I ruin it right there at the end?
You put pumpkin in everything. I got a birthday present with
it's
pumpkin.
It's October.
You drink pumpkin beer. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's pretty gross, but I'm forcing myself to drink it anyway.
Why are you making yourself
It's October.
Do that?
It's October, so I have to consume these things.
Way to be seen.
I put candy on everything.
Yeah.
Cool. Don't forget apple cider.
Oh, my God.
Apple cider.
Oh, so good.
Really
Such
hitting
good
all the fall.
I don't know. There's... So the Strength Force turns people into these hulking beasts. The Sage Checks Force invades their mind. As a super Flash fan, I'm really enjoying it. And I believe this is, Scott Collins on art?
Yeah, very good.
Scott Collins is a classic Flash artist. So particularly as a Flash fan, it's fun to see him back on the title.
But let me just say, if I could try to break down what happens in this issue.
Yes,
okay,
please.
Flash, known for his running, is trapped inside with his, he's a cop in his day job is a cop. He's trapped with his partner, who he hasn't revealed that he's actually a cop, too. He's with the Flash. They're trapped in the mind of the villain named Heatwave, who does with flames. He puts stuff on fire.
How did he get in that body?
He got trapped in the body because of an incident involving the Sage Force, I believe, which put him inside
Sage Force.
Inside the brain, they're investigating this villain's old life and how he grew up in a fucked up place. Yep. There's a Captain Cold is there, but also in real life, Captain Cold is standing there.
Oh, but we should mention that this isn't the Captain Cold from the present time period. This is the Captain Cold from the future, where he's Commander Cold and he's traveled back in time, but he's trapped there after Barry Allen broke the Speed Force while he was racing through it.
DC Comics,
and
he is
hanging out with Flash's wife, who for a while was just his girlfriend, but before that was his wife, and through the different fracturings of the universe.
Yeah, she's starting to remember everything, so she's remembering two lives now, one from two continuities back, I think, in the DC universe.
Flashpoint.
Anyway, very easy for
you
readers to jump in.
Especially for young people. Really fun for young readers.
We got it all. We got it.
Dude, I'd read this three times and I was still confused. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
We just explained it. We just explained it very simply.
You didn't help anything.
He runs fast.
That has nothing to do with what's happening in there.
Oh, just because he's sleeping?
I wish it was just somebody running fast.
Just because he's sleeping the whole time and is inside another character's brain, not really running very fast at all? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
This book is like the pumpkin tortellini of comics.
Yeah. That makes just as much sense as
it's
what the
October.
Other stuff
is. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Woo. We're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because I get to come out to you guys. It's our audience questions.
Yeah.
And for this, you can ask absolutely anything. Ask something of our amazing guest over here. Ask something of the panel. And you're going to get some free comics. What? You're laughing at my apron?
Yeah, no, it suits you.
It's really nice
to
see you.
I'm literally never going to take this off.
It sort of rides a little low on you in a nice way, I think.
Yeah, but it has legs.
Yeah.
I love it.
In case you need to run to grab an ingredient.
I really am going to wear this all the time. If you have any questions about this apron or how much I'm going to wear this apron or anything like that, or alternately for David over here, that would be fine. You, ma'am, I see your hand. What's your name? What's your question?
Victoria. So my question is for David Crownson.
Nice.
Here. Okay, so Yeah. My question is about issue 3. Can we get a little insight on some of the themes of the next issue and possibly when it'll be coming out?
Ooh, real question.
She wants fan the info. Question.
She wants the scoop.
Hell no, no.
Oh,
wow,
really?
Wow.
Wait, so you said you were asking me, is she free?
Issue 3.
Oh, issue 3. I thought you said issue free. I'm like, yes, Victoria, she's fucking free.
Oh, that's so
it literally
funny.
Says,
she's like, can I get
it literally
it for
says
free?
Slave crossed out freedom fighter demon slayer on the comic. Yes, I think she's free if she's slaying demons. So issue 3. Issue 3 will take place literally. Well, no, I assume you've all read the comic. If not, sorry, spoiler alert. Well, you find out why the Edgefields are running away in the first place. It takes place like 24 hours like prior, and you see like why they're leaving, and it's really dark and it's really bad, and it's based on this actually happened to a family. And the first two issues are kind of like, you know, fun and there's like action, but this, it gets like really dark. It starts out like kind of funny, but then it gets really dark really badly. And then it's like, shit, we have to like leave. We can't do this shit anymore. So that's issue 3. And I really want it to come out on Halloween. Because nothing screams Halloween like Harriet Tubman killing like racist demons.
Nice.
If I sign with this publisher, it might not come out till Thanksgiving. Actually, that'd be kind of cool too.
Yeah, I was gonna say
that'd be cool too.
That's a very scary holiday as well.
Yeah, exactly. Eat a turkey. Watch a black woman kill demons. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Cool. All right. Good question.
Now, wait. Did you want? We have some options for.
Jesus, are you going to do this thing?
Yeah. We're going to do this. We have an actual novel.
No. Okay. All right. So here's the thing.
Or we have comics. Or
we went over this last week, Pete. It says novel on the front, but it's a graphic novel.
Yeah, but it says a novel on the cover.
I understand, but if you flipped it open, you'd see it's only pictures, and it's a graphic novel, and I don't know why you keep insisting this.
Okay, well, I'm just going by what I see here. And you can either have a choice of a novel or a stack of comics. Which would you prefer?
Graphic in nature. Wow, this
which one? You know what, just
really weighing in.
Give her the novel so we can stop talking about this.
Four in the stack.
Yeah. Why don't you're gonna
going
go with
the stack?
All right, there we go.
All right, we can keep talking about the novel.
Woo! My favorite thing.
Nice.
All right. I saw that hand shoot up over there. Why don't you come on down? What is your name and what is your question?
Hi, my name is Sean.
Hey Sean.
I was just wondering if Kickstarter was your first way to fund your comic book, or did you go to some other publishers before that?
Oh,
nice, good question.
I was talking to this this film producer.
Heavy quotes for those of you listening.
Oh, for everyone on the podcast, I just made quotations with my fingers.
And to be
were the quotations around film or producer or both?
Film producer.
Okay. And you won't hear this in the edit, but he's really laid on it for like 1 to 2 minutes, and we later
hell
cut that
yes,
out.
I did. I met this film producer at a party, and he was all like, "Yo, I love your comic book. I love your idea. I want to invest in it for like a percentage of whatever."
Sure.
And I said, "Cool, dope, man. I need this amount of money." And he's like, "Cool." He's like, "That's not a lot of money at all." He's like, "I can definitely invest that." He literally laughed just like that.
Sounds like a vampire.
Yes, this dude. No, he was like a creepy ass dude too. So 2 weeks go by and we agreed on a date. Right, I'm like, okay, I need this amount of money to pay my artist to make the comic. And 2 weeks went by, I heard nothing. So I just messaged him. I said, "Hey man, it's been 2 weeks, haven't heard from you. This is David. Hope you're doing great." So I just wanted to know what was happening with the money, basically. Just checking in. No big deal. And then he like flipped out on me. He's like, "How dare you check in on me and this goddamn money? You know what? I quit." And I was like, "Shit."
I'm like, you quit. What's going on? And then he's like, I'm not dealing with this shit ever again. I quit, David. Good luck on your stupid comic book.
Oh,
and I was like, oh my
God. He said he quit?
Yeah, he like quit.
Job. That's not a job.
And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm not some manager at freaking Target. What the fuck is this? Yeah. So he just straight up quit. And then I think like the world changed. It was November 8th, 2016, and I was like, I got to make this comic book.
Great time to be doing anything creative.
Yeah, so like, I just contacted all my like collaborators. I'm like, we're doing this. It's coming out now, okay? And like, and not just because. So I go on Kickstarter, and I had my friends Chris Chalk and Kimberly Chalk help me out. They're like, all right, this is what you need to do. Email everyone you know. You already have you've been building an audience already over the summer, and your thing went viral. So when it drops, just keep sharing it and keep sharing new information and new art, and be obsessive and talk about your comic book like it's the next Star Wars. That's how you have to be.
Go on podcasts.
Go on podcasts with three awesome people wearing dope aprons.
What?
And that's a very specific request. Well, yeah. Very specific.
Yes. Oh, man.
But it's good advice.
I don't know where I got that info from. Yeah. Oh, no.
It's good.
But yeah, no. I just went on Kickstarter. I was like, I was scared. I was terrified because, you know, I have failed at many a things, okay? But but when I failed at things, only I know them personally, or like, you know, Sean, David, and Becca all know about it, and like that's it, and oh. Or like my mom and like Jesus know. So yeah. But with a Kickstarter, if that fails, like everyone knows your Kickstarter didn't like make it. So I launched it, and I think we made like $300 in like, you know, one day, and the goal was for $15,000. And around this time, like if you ever do a Kickstarter, never ever drop that shit on like Cyber Monday or like a holiday season. The best time to do a Kickstarter is to do it between August and like November 1st. After November 1st, just take a break, just relax, it'll come out. But I decided to do it, and I was like, oh shit, what have I done? And but I just couldn't listen to like the fear of like, oh no, what if it like doesn't happen. I'm like, oh, what if it does happen? You know, and just kind of like silence the naysayers, because your biggest naysayer is going to be the one that's in your head and in your heart. And you have to flip it, and you have to just be obsessive, positively obsessive, not like some Bruce Wayne bullshit. Okay, Bruce Wayne's a miserable guy. Really read that comic. Just be really focused. I'm a big Batman nerd. I might write a Batman comic. It's really cool. That's a true thing, guys. I might write a Batman comic.
Wait, really? That's great.
Wow.
That's very exciting. Very cool.
Is it going to start with him buying V-necks in an H&M? Yeah.
Hell yes.
All right, good.
No, I do make a joke about him, like, wearing what he wears, but, like, it's, I really like it. And it's kind of been done before a little bit, but I think it's cool, and I think it says something new about Bruce Wayne as a person and as a crime
writer. When is it coming out?
I don't know. Uh-huh. I'm pitching it, and I've just been like practicing and like rehearsing like the pitch of it, and like it's called Batman Low, because at the end like Bruce Wayne is at a whole new low as a human being, mm-hmm. and he's had to go to like a level of darkness he's never had to do before. It's been talked about him doing this specific act, but he's never done it, and who he has to do it to.
Wow, this is dancing around something.
Yeah. Oh yes, that's right, baby.
Like, what are the ideas here?
That's right, baby. I am dancing. I am. He goes back dancing.
He goes back and kills his own parents.
Oh,
spoiler. Okay, cool. Well, we got it. Nailed
maybe.
It.
Nice. Well, he might go back and kill his parents.
Good question. You're gonna get
wait.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Did you want a novel or a stack of comics?
Again, it is a graphic novel. Please. Take the novel off of her hands.
I think you're underselling the novel, because it's like a group of comic books together in one, like a graphic novel.
Yeah, in fact, it's one long graphic story. That's why they called it a novel up front, but it's a graphic novel because it's never mind. Let's get another question. Oh, I saw this hand over here. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, my name is Nylicia. Each one of you guys can answer this question.
Oh,
if you
yes.
want. It's for you, but you all can answer it. If your comic book was made into a movie, which, let's pitch that idea too. Who would you choose to be Harriet Tubman?
Oh. So
I will not confirm nor deny if I've been having conversations with this human being. Damn it, I don't know if I can say shit.
No, don't say the real thing. Say something else.
Oh, damn it.
Don't get yourself in trouble.
Don't get yourself in trouble.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, no.
So now you have to just try really hard not to say whatever the name that's in your head right now.
Yeah.
The only name in your head.
Thank you. I would... hell no, I'm not doing that shit. Sorry, my friends are in the audience, and they're just like, just say me, man.
Because they already know.
It's one of my white male friends. Sorry, nice. David, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I don't think that would be good casting. I'm just going to throw it out.
Yeah, no, it's like... Ryan Gosling, no.
Stunt casting.
Have you seen La La Land shit?
Yeah.
All I will say is the actress that I would cast is on a TV show called Orange is the New Black. I'll let you guess.
That's very specific.
That's right. I'll let you guess.
You're literally saying it almost.
That's right. Look at that TV show. That's right.
Okay.
Possibly.
I would say like Michonne from Walking Dead would be amazing.
No,
nice.
No, it can't be her. It can't be her.
Why?
Okay.
I had a. Oh, I can't. I don't want to.
Jeez. I'll tell you what. You're easy to spill a bean.
You had a. Come on.
Well, no. Like when I first did this comic, everyone was like, "Oh, it looks like Michonne," and I'm like, "No, it's not. It's Harriet Tubman." Mm. And then I went back and looked at like Walking Dead art, and I was like, "I'm like, ah, shit." And at first, we had her in a cloak, and like Michonne has a cloak and like one sword, and I'm like, "All right, get rid of that cloak," and
So you've been burnt by the Michonne comparison before.
That and. I may or may not have had a run-in with Miss Denai Guerrero.
Yeah, I guess we'll never know.
She's awesome and dope.
May or
she's
may not
great.
Have, but I have a feeling you may have.
Yes, I may or may not have had a run-in at 33rd Street Herald Square.
Oh, on the street. You mean like a physical meet-cute style run-in?
Well, yeah, no, I don't know. Like, I saw her just sitting down. I don't care. I'll tell you all the story. I don't give a damn.
Okay, right.
No, I saw her sitting down, and I am a big fan of the show. This was like 7 years ago. And I got so excited about seeing her, I flubbed her name when I saw her. I was just like, her name is Denai Guerrero. And I said, Denai Guerrero! Because I got so excited. And she was like, what did you say? And I was like, shit. I'm like, today? And she's like, oh, hell no. Get the fuck away from me.
Really?
And I was like, shit.
What?
And she did the whole, like, she did this. And I was like, I'm like, what does that mean? And I was kind of like.
I know what that means, if you're wondering.
I love how you said that. No. I think I caught her on a bad day.
Yeah.
So I apologize for catching you on a bad day. Miss Denai Guerrero. I'm a big fan. I love your shit.
Nice.
And I love your plays. Don't tell anyone this shit, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Anything else you want to confess on a recorded podcast?
No. All
right.
Did you want a stack of comics or a novel? Which would you prefer?
Please take the novel. Yeah. Oh, who do you think?
Who would you cast as Harriet Tubman, Demon Slayer?
Harriet Tubman, Dreamcasting? Demon Slayer, Dreamcasting. I mean, the Michonne gravity is strong on that, so it's hard to jump right to someone else.
Could you do Angela Bassett, maybe?
I mean, she's interesting.
Cool. Oh, you're on board? Yeah, was that what you were waiting
big
for?
Big time on board.
Woo!
Jada Pinkett wants to do it, allegedly. Jada Pinkett and...
Viola
her
Davis.
Name.
Yeah.
And Janelle Monáe is allegedly being it for Halloween. Allegedly.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
That's
cool. Really cool.
Shit, I totally wasn't supposed to say that shit. I don't care.
Great. I feel like we need to make this podcast 5 hours long, and eventually you're going to implicate yourself in a murder.
Yeah, exactly. The confessions go even deeper.
And that's where I buried the body.
Amazing. All right, I think we can take one more question. You, sir, right there. Come on down. There's a short mic. Come on,
snap,
down.
I know him.
All right, what's your name? What's your question?
I am David. Hey, David. Love nice. Your comic. Okay.
Thank recently, you, stranger.
Recently, some guy usurped your artwork, and he's kind of a prominent figure, and he didn't give you credit for it and won't take it down. How do you deal with stuff like that? And what's his name? Maybe tell
oh,
the
nice.
Again.
Wow. This
oh,
went from bad yes. to worse.
Okay, so last week I shared some cover art of issue 5 of Harriet Tubman Demon Slayer. It's really dope. It's Harriet Tubman killing a bunch of Klan members. I thought it was fun. Dr. Umar Johnson, he recently shared it on his Instagram and on his Twitter, but he didn't give any credit to the artist, who is Nicholas Draper Ivey. And, like, you know, I was a little mad about it. And Nicholas was great. He commented on, he said, hey, Harriet, and it got, like, I think, like, 40,000 hits or something like that. Wow. And he used the art to advertise his own, like, talk show in Austin, Texas. And, like, he, like, put his, like, own logo over Harriet Tubman Demon Slayer. Yeah, yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's, like, trash behavior. Nick was, and my friends, David, he basically were like, hey, like, that's not cool. You should give credit to the artist. And everyone was very nice and diplomatic, except for my ass. Like it. And I said, hey, this is bullshit. This is trash. You should give us, like, you should give credit to the artist for your bullshit show. So you suck and you're trash and your beard is, like, nappy and ugly.
What kind of a show? It's a talk show? Like a
yeah, he was having some, like, I don't know, some talk show in, like, Austin, Texas. But, like, I don't care. I'm like, yo, like, give credit to, like, the artists, the creators, yeah. the people that put in hard work.
Yeah.
And it's getting, like, seen, like, across, like, the globe. He has a big following. And I'm like, yo, like, shout us out because you stole it from us, you know? And not that he stole it. He shared it but didn't say anything about it. Didn't say anything about, oh, I got this from, created by, drawn by. And that's not cool. Yeah, I give credit to artists.
That's not cool. Yeah.
All right. That is it for your audience questions.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Pete LePage.
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Because if you had $25, you go to a comic book shop. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand. First hand up guy.
Yeah,
come casual on. First hand up guy. Yeah. Please come
over
to the
here.
Stage.
Here you go.
Thank you. Sir, what is your name?
Hi, my name's Spencer.
Spencer, audience, Spencer.
Nice.
Hey, buddy.
All right, so we're going to do some trivia on this gentleman here, as long as you know everything about him.
You
get all
to
three
know
questions right, $25 will be yours.
Yo, I'll whisper shit to you.
Thanks. Hey, man, I'll take care of the cheating here. There's no need for extra cheating.
Quick, what's your blood type?
As long as you were paying attention when he was talking, you should be fine. Here we go. Question number one. The idea for this comic happened after he watched a documentary on Harriet Tubman, followed by Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, followed by what?
Wow.
Is it A, Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters, B, Blade, or is it C, Jumanji? So if you want $25, say A, or you could be wrong.
I don't know. Jumanji sounding really
great, inspiring film. Jumanji.
I know. We talking about the one with the rock, or?
Oh yeah, that's a great question.
No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the original Jumanji, is what we're talking about.
See, this
okay?
is the kind of thing when you're the star of trivia, you have to
by
take out
that question.
All right, I have a weird feeling it might be A.
A is
that's
correct.
Great
that's right.
Stuff.
Thank you.
Great Jeez. Stuff.
Whew, I didn't think we were going to get there. Okay, David is... Whoa, there's two more questions. Don't look at you. You're pounding people.
My bad.
You got two more questions, all right?
It ain't over yet, baby. It ain't
got
over yet.
Very cocky.
Yeah. Don't get cocky. It's going to get rocky. All right, here we go.
I got you.
David is a writer, a director, and a blank. Is it A, a carpenter, B, an actor, or is it C, Popeye? So it's either A or it's B.
How much spinach have you eaten?
That's another great question.
I had freaking sautéed spinach on my burger today, brother.
So I don't know. Uh-oh.
That sounds like a real Popeye move.
Yeah.
And why'd you laugh when he said carpenter?
Do you want $25?
Okay, fine, it's B.
There you go. Thank you.
Nice, good.
All right, here we go. Last question. Okay, cool.
Getting contentious.
What is the name of his web series? Is it A, Black Irish, B, Irish and African, or is it C, Mark and Mindy? So it's either A, Black Irish, for the $25. Please just say the word A, or you could not get $25.
Okay. Just open my Facebook really quick.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. No, I'd say.
It's correct.
Nice.
$25 is yours, Spencer. Congratulations.
Good work. Congratulations.
Good work.
Another start.
I'm changing Pete. Black Irish to African and Irish today.
What was up with the Robin Williams theme there, Pete?
Yeah, there was a little Robin Williams theme.
Yeah, no, I asked you what was up with it.
I just miss the guy. Sometimes,
nice. Great. Yeah, throw that into trivia.
Are you excited?
Time to throw that in the trivia.
Are you excited about Aladdin, though?
I'm nervous about Aladdin.
Yeah, like it's Guy Ritchie directing it, so I'm like. Is there gonna be like weird slow motion and like some British like inaudible narration like the whole entire time? Like he's like Arabian Nights. That's what I do. Arabian Nights, Arabian Day. So that's basically what we do here. You know, I'm gonna tell you a story about this lamp and a boy, a street rat. You know,
like that's gonna be like yeah. like Guy Ritchie's like Aladdin.
Some people call
him
Pikey.
That's
yeah, fine. Yeah, so I'm wow. nervous. I'm like a little bit. I'm nervous about it as well, but I'm excited about. But no. Like, have you seen the teaser trailer for it that just came out? Yeah. Like, I looked at it. I'm like, Aladdin looks all clean and shit. he's like wearing this white shirt and like he's not like topless or whatever. Calm down, everyone. That's not what I meant.
Do you know what drove me crazy about that teaser? It wasn't even the teaser. It was all the news articles that came out being like breaking down the new Aladdin teaser.
Yeah.
And I was like,
it's worse.
50% of it is a desert, you guys.
Yeah. And like there's nothing and like Iago, going on. Like CGI Iago flying around.
Yeah.
And like I don't know.
Calm down.
It wasn't.
It'll be fine.
I hope it's
They're
good.
They're all fine. Everything's fine. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to checking out Daredevil number 609.
Yeah, woo! What's up with that dude?
I don't know. Charles Soule is saying he's going to kill off Daredevil, which I'm not excited about.
That seems like a risky maneuver. What with the TV show coming out?
Yeah, I know. You would think Marvel might be like, hey, maybe you shouldn't do that right now.
But you think he's going to do it anyway.
I do.
Wow.
Oh, man.
That's crazy, Pete. That's
nuts.
Pretty crazy.
What are you looking forward to, Justin?
I'm looking forward to...
Curse words? Are you looking forward to curse words?
Don't put words in my mouth.
Okay.
Unless they're curse words. I'm looking forward to Marvel Zombie number 1. Which I don't know too much about, but I liked that sort of universe, that side universe in the Marvel universe, and I love zombie stuff, so let's see what happens.
Cool. I'm looking forward to Unstoppable Wasp number 1 is coming out tomorrow. It's written by Jeremy Whiteley, who wrote the Rainbow Bright comic book that came out a little while ago that was surprisingly fantastic. And the art is by Guri Hiru, who are a pair of my absolute favorite artists. If you want to check out a review of that, we do a podcast that goes up in the same feed as Comic Book Club every Wednesday at 9 a.m. We have a bunch of reviews of titles that are coming out on Wednesday, so definitely check that out. Also, I want to take a moment to plug our sponsor again. I got the website a little long. It's righteous-crowdfund.com. That's for Righteous Comic. They're crowdfunding the second volume of the book Righteous right now, so go check that out. That should be live, and you can go support it. Plug your stuff again. What should people be checking out, David?
Plug my own stuff.
Yeah, your own stuff.
All right. Harriet Tubman, Demon Slayer. It's online. Buy it. It's fun. It's heartfelt and enjoyable. A real page turner. It has 5 stars on Amazon and Comixology. Barack Obama follows me on Twitter because of it. That's right, I said it.
Wow.
What's it called? It's online, so buy it, and you'll enjoy it. You'll love it. Cool. Yeah, but basically it.
All right, a couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, our guests are going to be Crystal Skillman and Bobby Cronin. They are the creators of Mary and Max, the musical. It's a musical adaptation of the awesome indie animated movie Mary and Max. If you've never seen it, it's very weird and very interesting. Mm-hmm. I think, Pete, are they going to perform some musical numbers from the show?
Yeah, they're gonna do that. We're going to uncover that piano in the corner there and dust it off and put it to work.
That's a piano?
Yeah.
Wow. Huh. That's exciting.
I thought that was a lump of sandwiches.
Yeah, that's another solid guess.
There you go. So that's coming up. Also, we have a bunch of podcasts they're rolling out. I don't know if you guys watch Riverdale, but Riverdale is back in season. Woo! Yeah. We have a Riverdale podcast called Riverdale After Dark that goes up every Wednesday after the show airs, so definitely check that out. Also, starting next week, we're going to be launching a new Chilling Adventures of Sabrina podcast for that show on Netflix. So that should be a lot of spooky, good fun.
We got a TV problem as well.
We watch too much TV and read too many comic books because we're adults.
We're fun. We're fun kids,
no shame,
and that's how
no
I want to live.
We're also launching a candy podcast.
Yeah.
And if you want to support these podcasts, they're all free to listen to. It's free to come see the show, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. Patreon.com/comicbookclub. We have a bunch of benefits. You can hang out in our Slack like those cool people over there. And we'll send you presents once a month, things like that.
Presents?
Presents, yeah. What?
They are.
They are presents.
We're
I don't know. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank David for being on the show.
Yeah.
Boothman Prime!
Boothman Prime!
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night!
Thanks,
everybody. Thanks for coming out. We really appreciate it.